It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Zoos around Wisconsin are celebrating new additions, including baby otters, camels, and Canadian lynx.
Okay, so now we're going to hear what it's like to care for these newborn animals and what their first few months are like with zookeepers around the state.
We start in Suamico near Green Bay, where two Canadian lynx kittens were born at the Northeastern Wisconsin Zoo and Adventure Park. Carmen Murak is the park's zoo director. Carmen, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
These two Canadian lynx kittens born in mid-May, how are they doing?
Yep, so they're 3 weeks old now, adorable little balls of fluff. They just opened their eyes last week. And their mom, she's a first-time mom, Nova. She was actually born at our zoo here. But Nova's not done this before. She's a wonderful mom. She's very attentive, very protective of these little kittens.
So Nova taking such good care, how much time do they get with mom and not be on display at the zoo? What is that like?
Well, we definitely leave things up to the parents as often as we can. That's one thing that's sometimes a little bit different about zoo that's accredited by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. Sometimes you don't get the just wall-to-wall babies, and you know, we don't pass babies around. We don't hand raise babies unless there's a real reason for it. If mom can do the job, that's best for everyone. So Nova's doing a great job. She's taking good care of them. She's spending most of her time still in the nest box. She's not coming out very often, mostly just to come out and eat.
Is she pretty protective?
She is. You know, she's got a good relationship with the zookeeper who cares for her on a daily basis. So she's okay with Lindsay getting in there and taking a peek, but she is pretty opposed to anyone else being in the vicinity.
I would imagine that Lindsay really has to build that foundation of trust.
That's right.
Yeah, and that takes time.
It does. It does. They, you know, the keepers do work very closely with these animals. You know, people always ask, do you go in and pet the lions? We don't go in with even lynx. No reason to, really. We can still have good relationships with them, even from the other side of the fencing. You have a few animals who tactile, you know, that scratch behind the ears is maybe important, but you can do that with a back scratcher. There's no reason to be reaching your hands in there and taking any chances.
Now, from what I understand, Canadian lynx are listed as a threatened species. Can you tell us about this species and what they are?
That's right. They're listed, the U.S. population is listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. They're pretty much small fragmented populations in just some of the northernmost states. There's a small population in Maine, in Minnesota, and then mainly in the high altitudes of the Rockies Mountains. There are lynx in Canada, and of course, and Alaska that are doing fairly well right now, but definitely in danger of habitat fragmentation is always a big problem for animals who are adapted to very precise conditions. And Canada lynx need deep snow to really thrive. And, you know, we certainly have to worry about things like the warming climate that can definitely impact their ability to survive. They've got those giant feet that act as snowshoes, and they're just particularly adapted to hunting in the conifer forests. They really need the boreal forest to find their food supply, which is almost exclusively snowshoe hares. So they just need that really healthy environment that's healthy not only for their prey items and the plants they need to be able to find shelter under. They tend to kind of use the little tented areas in the conifer trees.
Carmen, when will you know it's time for these lynx to have their public debut? Like, what signals are you looking for or development milestones?
Well, at this point, you know, they're babies. They're sleeping and they're eating and they're growing and they're not doing a whole lot beyond that. by next month, you know, when they're 2 months old, they're starting to toddle around a little bit. They're still not very coordinated, and really probably able to climb out of the nest box and really explore their habitat. But they'll just be starting to do a little of that. But then by the time they're 3 months, things, and again, this is a really similar growth schedule to domestic kittens. By the time they're 3 months, you know, they're trouble.
Well, we'll leave it at that. Carmen, thank you for joining us.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me.
Carmen Murrock is zoo director for the Northeastern Wisconsin Zoo and Adventure Park near Green Bay. We're talking about a flurry of baby zoo animals being born around Wisconsin. And next, we'll visit the Milwaukee County Zoo, where Danielle Fawcett is winter quarters area supervisor and caring for Batar, a baby camel who was born in April. Danielle, welcome.
Hello.
So baby Batar was 99 pounds at birth. What is birth like for a camel?
Well, AJ is a proven mom. AJ is his mother. So honestly, the birth was pretty quick. From the time the staff was notified of her going into labor, that calf was on the ground probably within an hour. And shortly after that, he was on his feet and klutzily finding where the udder is and moving around the habitat. But yeah, 99 pounds at birth. But to put that in perspective, his dad is 1,700 pounds. So he's still got a lot of growing to do.
Oh, wow. And the birth of a camel is a big spectacle at the zoo. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, having him born on Easter makes it extra busy. But camels are notorious for giving birth during the day. They kind of have to. The moms do not clean off their calves like other species do. They rely more on the environment to do it for them. So it's definitely a crowd pleaser when it happens.
How has Batar changed in these weeks?
Well, when camels are born, their humps are, at least Bactrian camels, their humps are completely flat and they slowly firm up over time. So right now, about a month later, his humps are completely upright. You got to understand, that's comfort of mom for sure. But it also is because those humps have to fill up with that fat, and that's what's in those humps. And it takes a little bit of time.
So Bactrian camels, they're native to the Gobi Desert of Mongolia and China, and they're very adaptive to survive in the colder desert climate. Can you talk about their adaptive features?
They grow an immense winter coat, and that's to tolerate the really cold weather that can be found in Mongolia and northern China. And then they completely shed it out come spring. So if you look at them right now, they look very weird because they're very raggedy, but they've got to shed that coat out so then they can regrow it throughout the year. But my gosh, camels are just amazing with how many adaptations they have to conserve water and to protect themselves from the sand. Their eyelids, for instance, they actually have three eyelids. They have an upper and a lower, just like us, but then they have a nictitating eyelid that goes horizontal across the eye. And it's semi-transparent, and that helps them protect their eye against blowing sand or the blowing winds in the desert. And they can see a little bit through it. So it's just amazing what these camels can do.
They have a windshield wiper.
Pretty much. It's sometimes referred to that almost. In addition, you might as well say that they have kind of a natural dehumidifier. Their long nose, when they exhale, the air cools, and it helps keep trap the water vapor inside to make sure they conserve every single water source or droplet that they can inside their body. So that's their little natural dehumidifier. And in addition, their nostrils. We often joke with the kids, can you close your nostrils without touching them? And of course we can't, but the camels, they can. They've got those muscles and everything in their nostrils that they can completely seal their nostrils against the blowing sand to further protect themselves.
Wow.
Yeah, they're pretty amazing. I mean, they even have their own little built-in sun visors. They have these rather big eyebrow ridges that kind of act as little mini sun visors in the bright sun. So yeah, they're pretty amazing.
Well, Danielle, give our best to Batar. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Danielle Fawcett is the winter quarters area supervisor at the Milwaukee County Zoo, caring for baby camel Batar. Now we turn to the Henry Vilas Zoo in Madison, where Emily Callahan Thompson is a caretaker for two North American river otters. Emily, welcome.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for having me.
These pups were born in February and named Ginger and Wasabi. Great names. How are they doing?
They are doing really well. Yeah, they'll be 16 weeks old coming up here on this weekend, and they are basically almost full grown. You can't even really tell they're babies anymore, but they are thriving.
They were born blind, don't open their eyes until like 5 weeks, shortly after they're learning to swim. What are their milestones like? How do they change?
Yeah, they are so fun. As soon as they're born, I go and I adjust my calendar to have all their milestones kind of laid out. So I make sure that they are meeting all of them. So the biggest one is when they first start to, when you see their eyes open, and that happens within a matter of a couple weeks, and then their teeth start to come in. And that's always really exciting because then you know that they are doing a really great job nursing and they're moving along. My favorite milestone, though, is probably when mom, and their mom is Elva, when Elva teaches them actually how to swim. So funny enough, otter babies are not natural swimmers. They have no idea what to do. And Elva will literally take them by the scruff and just bring them in the water and like dunk them down. And they're, you know, they're speaking the whole time. And she's a great mom. She's a great swim coach. And I know that they are in well cared hands. But it is quite funny to see them just be so a fish out of water, I guess.
Elva really takes control of the situation and knows exactly what needs to get done.
Oh, yes. Yeah. She'll take one and she'll be like, all right, it's your turn. We're going in. We're doing a lap. You're putting your head under. Okay, you're done. Going back and get the other one and like repeat the steps.
And why do you wait months for them to make their debut on exhibit?
Yeah, so the biggest one is in, we still have dad here with us too, so Dragon Roll, so that hence their name. So Dragon, we call him Dragon, but his full name is Dragon Roll. So we went with the sushi theme, hence Wasabi and Ginger. Dads don't have anything to do with the raising of babies, so we have to keep Elva and babies away from dad. We just kind of treat them as two different entities. And so a lot of the time Elva feels most comfortable when she's in her den, kind of in our back holding space where it's nice and calm and quiet. And then we just navigate with Dragon having access inside and outside, kind of depending on the temperature and keeping him out of view. So that's just for the ease of Elva, just getting used to those babies. And when they're so tiny, they're just not ready to navigate that big outdoor exhibit.
That makes sense. And you've worked with baby animals at Henry Vilas Zoo in the past. How does your job change when a new animal is born?
Yeah, so this is our second set of otter pups, and it is very exciting. Otter pups are an extra level of fun because we never actually 100% know when Elva is expecting.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Otters do this awesome thing called delayed implantation. So they can just kind of, I always just kind of akin it to like, they just pocket away that fertilized egg until they feel the time is right. And they can do that for up to 270 days. So the birth window is huge.
Wow.
So we have to kind of go into Elva's birth window of like, planning projects and planning like all these different things, but then also having like, well, if A happens and B happens, then like we have to change it to like plan C. So we just have to be really flexible during her birth window. And she both times has given birth overnight. So it's always fun to kind of come in the next morning and I guess you just walk into the space and you can just feel like, oh my gosh, there's baby otters here. And you just have to totally just get like change your day and be like, all right, got to see how many there are, got to make sure Elva's good, man, make sure everything's fine. So it just kind of makes your day adjust in a great way. And we just have to kind of just take it as a surprise and have to be ready for that surprise because, yeah, she's good at hiding when she's pregnant.
Oh, Emily, thank you for describing Ginger and Wasabi. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
And that is Emily Callahan Thompson, who is caring for North American river otters, including Ginger and Wasabi, at the Henry Vila Zoo in Madison. Earlier, we spoke with Danielle Fawcett, the winter quarters area supervisor at the Milwaukee County Zoo, who's caring for a baby camel, Batar. And rounding us out, Carmen Murrock, the zoo director for the Northeastern Wisconsin Zoo and Adventure Park in Suamico, who recently welcomed two Canadian lynx kittens.
Tell us what you're seeing in your zoo visits. Is there an addition at your community zoo or nature center? And maybe you're seeing a baby rabbits and other new offspring out in the wild, or maybe you're like me and watching baby eagles and hawks on webcams. Email about baby animals that you're seeing at wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org. We'd love to hear your stories.